I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is the 6th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. And I am having all sorts of flashbacks to that day because just like this weekend, 6 years ago, we were dealing with a snowstorm that had come through Virginia. And I had all this family coming and visiting from out of town, and we were all stressed out about everyone traveling and this big event and all of this snow. So one day, you all can say to your children when they grow up, the day you were baptized, we all worked really hard to get there because it snowed and it was this big dramatic thing. The same thing in 6 years ago, when we had the service in my church in Virginia, we also sang the hymn that we sang this morning, hymn 135. We sang this as we processed in. And this is a hymn about Epiphany and about ministry, because that's where the church is. That's where the season is that we're in. And this hymn uses a very important Epiphany word, manifest. And if you look at it, hymn 135, manifest at Jordan stream, prophet, priest, and king supreme. So each of the verses of this hymn go on to say more things about what Jesus is and what he does in the world. And every verse sums up with that same sentiment, God in man made manifest. Manifest. It means to make something evident, plain, to reveal, to make totally clear. And there aren't many moments in Jesus' life when things were totally clear. People did not always immediately understand him. He told these stories, these parables all the time that confused people, that were indirect ways of answering a question about the kingdom of God. And he was asked direct questions all the time by the Pharisees, and he would give these kind of cagey answers. And sometimes he really did try to speak clearly and to make things plain. And even then, his disciples would say, we still don't understand you. Even at the very end, even with standing in front of Pontius Pilate, Jesus was not clear about who he was. There's this sense of Pontius Pilate standing there and saying, are you the king of the Jews? Are you really who you say that you are? So Jesus was constantly challenged over and over again about who he was, where his authority came from, and what he was up to. So people that knew him probably would not have used the word manifest to describe Jesus, if manifest means making things known. And yet, that's what Jesus did constantly. He made God manifest in the world. He took on human flesh, and he showed us God. And he took other things, things like water and bread and wine, and he showed us God. He lifted up vulnerable people, people like children and widows and the poor, and there he showed us God. And that's what Jesus does constantly. He makes the presence of God known in the world. He shows us God. So today, that's the work that he's beginning to do. This day, the feast of his baptism. So this day in the Jordan River, this moment of Jesus' baptism, that is God made manifest. This is God made clear. Jesus rises up from the water and wipes that mud out of his eyes, and the heavens open. And he hears a voice that says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. So this is a moment of clarity, a moment when God speaks and says exactly who Jesus is and where his authority comes from. And so his baptism is all about identity. It's all about commitment to ministry. And it's all about stepping into the place where Jesus has always meant to be. And there's something about that moment that I think sums up what it means to be truly human. To step into a place where you're able to say, I am this thing that I say that I am. For Jesus to be fully human, he needed that moment. He needed a moment of affirmation and vocation, that moment of stepping into public life, to cross over into ministry in a new way. And that's exactly what baptism does. So we all need moments like this, moments of this kind of clarity. Not just when somebody else says who you are, but moments when you claim who you are. When you say, yes, I am this thing that I say that I am. I am a beloved child of God. That's when you're most fully human. When you step into your identity and you grasp it for yourself. Because there are plenty of other moments in life when other people will tell you who you are, and they don't always get it right. True or not, the world is making these statements about who you are, and you have a choice whether or not you want to accept that. So baptism is one of those moments when you choose, when you say, I am this thing that I say that I am, and God responds, yes, you are. You are beloved. God reaffirms what is already true in you, what is already a part of you. Baptism is about identity. But this isn't just a moment of description. This is a moment about vocation. Baptism doesn't just say that you're loved by God. It also says that you're loved and you have a job to do. You were made to do something in this world. In the kingdom of God, we've all got work to do. We've all got some specific job to do, something that is true about you, that God created you to contribute to the world. For some people, it's standing in pulpits and preaching sermons and celebrating the sacraments. For other people, it is making music, making art, sitting in an organ and making beautiful music to the glory of God. For other people, it's helping the poor and the vulnerable, leading the church in mission out in the world. We all have a calling. We all have something to do in this world. We all have good, holy work to do, and our job is to figure out what that is. As Bishop Curry is really fond of saying, if you're baptized, God's calling you. So this moment of baptism, when we baptize these children, we remember along with them that this is not just about our identity. It's about what work we have to do. It's a moment that reminds us of our true selves and of our true world, the world that God is calling us to heal and make new. And it reminds us of our place in that world, our citizenship in the world of the kingdom of God. And in taking care of these children, in raising them in the faith, we have to remind them that they have work to do. We remind them not only are they beloved by God, which is a huge thing for us to grasp, but they also have important work to do. They all have a Christian vocation to enter into. And that's going to be their lifelong work, to figure out what that is, to find out what it is in them that God created them to do to help heal the world. So on this day, 6 years ago, when it snowed and it was so cold and we were all worried about everyone getting there for my ordination, Bishop Porter Taylor, who was the bishop in Western North Carolina, was the preacher. And he preached this wonderful sermon about ministry and the church and the priesthood and centering in on what it was that I was going to do as a priest, what I needed to focus on as a priest. And I remember very clearly, he looked right at me and he said, Sarah, you need to remember about being a priest, the church is kind of like a swimming pool. All the noise comes from the shallow end. You can take that however you want to. But then he went on to say, and so your job is to always go further and further into the deep end. The same is true for all of us, ordained or not. We tend to spend a lot of energy in our lives in the shallow end of the pool, focusing on the shallow things of life, the shallow work. And the Holy Spirit is always calling us to move further into the deep end, to push ourselves where we are uncomfortable, where we need to grow, where we need to heal, where the world needs to heal. We need to push ourselves deeper into a richer sense of ministry, because that's always where the Holy Spirit is. So let us rise from the waters of our own baptism now. Let's stand and wipe all that mud out of our eyes and into these complicated lives, grasping that we are beloved as God's children. And let us claim that vocation, that work of our baptism once again, because we have work to do. Amen.